Pittsburgh's college hockey team, the Robert Morris Colonials, take to the 84 Lumber Arena ice at the RMU Island Sports Center on Neville Island this season as defending Atlantic Hockey Conference champions. Season, group, and individual game tickets are on sale now. New ticket prices for the 2015-16 season are in effect and offer many great opportunities for Colonial fans to come out and support their favorite team. Season tickets start at just $120 for 15 games. Individual tickets start at just $10 if you buy in advance and $12 day of game. There are also special discounts for kids, seniors, and military, plus lots of promotional giveaways. For more information or to buy, visit rmutickets.com or call the RMU Ticket Office at 412-397-4949.
Sports Talk on Trib Live Radio.
Hell yeah!
Now, here's Ken Laird.
Your voice is like a combination of Fergie and Jesus.
Trib Total Media. See what's next.
College basketball season all across the country into conference play. Time for our weekly check-in with Andy Toole, Robert Morris Colonial head basketball coach. His Colonial's no exception. Northeast Conference play is underway. Andy joins us now. Tough one with Wagner at a three-point margin, Andy, a couple of days ago. With 48 hours to think back on it, what was the difference in the contest?
It's those one or two plays, Ken. You know, it's really, we talk about it all the time. The margin for error is very small. There's a fragile line between winning and losing, and there's three or four plays on both sides of the ball that we can look at and say, you know, maybe if we would have been a little more urgent, or maybe if we would have been a little smarter, or maybe if we would have been a little stronger, we make those plays and we win the game. You know, we missed three uncontested layups on a fast break during the course of the game, and you lose by three. You know, so those are some of the things that come back to haunt you when you don't take care of some opportunities you have in front of you.
Do you think it's a confidence issue? I know some of the games have not gone the way you want. When you get some opportunities there, as you have, including at the end, to get the win, in some other years or some different times with a more confident team, do you think those go in?
You know, I think, the couple possessions that we had late against Wagner, you know, I thought we kind of settled for jump shot instead of trying to get to the rim. We've been in a number of close games this year and haven't been able to come out on top, unfortunately. And I think that, I think that can wear on a team. You hope that it doesn't, and you hope you take each game kind of as, you know, a new opportunity and a new chance to play better and to win. We definitely had opportunities Saturday as well as Monday to win games that we didn't capitalize on. And, those things are frustrating. We continue to talk about it. We continue to think about it. We continue to, try and put ourselves in position to win. And, hopefully one of these times we can get over the hump and then maybe start having some good feelings around those late games.
Sounds like you were happy with the effort, though, and I guess that's a good place to start, right?
Yeah, if you don't have effort, you don't have any chance. And so I thought we competed. I thought we fought. I thought, we did a lot of things that you need to do to win the game, and now it's got to be that effort's got to be consistent, and put on top of that, maybe a little more detail or a little more discipline, and now you can come away and be successful instead of the pain of a close loss. So I did like the effort. I thought we had some guys really, play with the appropriate level of intensity, and we still could use a couple more, but, I think the effort was pretty good, and that's where we got to build from.
You got a career high in points from Billy Giles, your junior forward. What's his evolution been like this year?
He was excellent. Him and Kayvon Stewart were really the guys that led the charge on Monday night. And Billy was excellent, finishing around the rim, had a couple really nice turnaround jump shots, was really active on the backboards, really competed at a high level. And we've talked about him a couple times. I think he's shown those flashes. He's a guy that we're looking to, get the ball to. We'd like to get him to shoot more. He's shooting over 60% from the field, and good coaching or bad coaching, they say when the guy's shooting over 60%, you got to try and give him the ball to get some more shots. So, that's what we're looking to do. And he's been a great, great, addition to our team, and a valuable piece of our program. And I'm hoping that he continues to play at the level he's been at, because that'll certainly, help our team all around.
Well, that's good news. And, you know, looking at the final box, looks like you guys have settled in on you've got nine deep, but really a strong six-man rotation, correct?
Yeah, and, Jordan Lester, who's played sparingly the last couple games, you know, was dealing with some mono for the last few weeks, so he's kind of working his way back in. We'd like to get him a few more minutes. And, no, I mean, I'd love to get to seven, maybe 7.5, 8, but you also got to go and produce when you're out there. And, I think that's, you know, part of the responsibility that everybody has on the team is when they get their opportunity, how big or how small, that they, you know, do their best to complete the tasks that are asked. And some of our guys off the bench, I think, need to be a little more solid. And if they do that, then they can get a couple more minutes.
Also a tight game over the weekend with Sacred Heart. They had a kid who went for career-high 33. Was that a surprise, or is Kane Broom a pretty elite player in the league?
He's he had a really good freshman year last year and really is coming to his own here as a sophomore. And, dangerous guy. You know, we knew he was going to be somebody who'd be looking to, you know, take a number of shots and score the ball for them. And he's been on a tear here early in conference play. I think he had 25 or 27 in their second game. So, you know, he's a guy that we're well aware of and unfortunately let him loose on too many occasions. That was part of the frustration from Saturday that, you have a guy that is scoring at such a high rate, like make somebody else beat you. And, we were unable to do that on Saturday.
Well, I know you guys have to go on the road here. LIU Brooklyn coming up. They typically are a tough team. What are you seeing here for the weekend stretch?
Yeah, we have two tough games. I mean, any conference road game is difficult. LIU Brooklyn's been playing well. They're 1-1 in the league. Tough defensive team. They get on the backboard to get the ball into the paint. So, you know, we got to stand up. Our defense has got to stand up and be real strong on Thursday night and give the same kind of effort we did Monday and maybe make a couple more shots or execute a little bit better on the other side of the ball and come away on top.
Good luck this weekend, Andy. Keep up the hard work, and we will see you next week.
Thanks, Ken. I appreciate it.
All right, Andy Toole, Robert Morris, head basketball coach, LIU Brooklyn and St. Francis of Brooklyn coming up this weekend in New York, 7 p.m. tip on Saturday, and then Thursday games. Thursday at LIU Brooklyn, and Saturday at St. Francis, a 4 o'clock afternoon start. Colonials 0-2 in NEC play, but a lot of time to go, and they're looking to gel there a little bit. Some real tight games to start in the home affairs out at the Sewell Center. Coming up top of the hour here on Trib Live Radio, brought to you by Team Spanos Group of Raymond James. It will be Jagoff of the Year voting. Now, we got to clarify with Guy, who is the purveyor of Jagoffetry, if you will, here of this fine radio station. It's his baby. You know, he carries the rule book around. Do we go just one-day voting? I think we were supposed to start yesterday or Monday, but all the hubbub of the Steelers, we kind of, to be frank, got lost in the whole deal. So maybe we'll do it as over a two-day affair and select a winner tomorrow. Maybe not. This could be a one-shot deal. So in order to prepare you a little bit, just to think back at some of the happenings of the year in weekly voting. Now, you don't have to win a week to be a candidate or to win the year. Last year, Roger Goodell won mostly the Ray Rice fiasco, which was given, you know, the two-game suspension, then you had the TMZ video, then it was an indefinite suspension, then they denied they saw the video, and it was just incompetence and cover-up from top to bottom, and Roger Goodell was our Jagoff of the Year. It was a tight vote, though. LeGarrette Blount, who actually hadn't even won a weekly award, was a strong second-place candidate, and of course at that time he's running hard with New England. He had the fight, he had the DUI, he had the walkout, he had the release, and the whole deal, and then he's showing back up for the eventual Super Bowl champions. Mike Milbury came in third for lifetime achievement. Jameis Winston, future first overall pick, was fourth, and the Penguins organization, Lemieux, Burkle, and Morehouse, came in fifth last year. We had some obvious names show up on the weekly list of winners, though. Like, 2 weeks in, Zach Rinaldo. If you remember the Zach Rinaldo hit of Chris Letang, he not only left his feet, he not only hit him in the numbers, he drove his head into the glass, and then after the game was preening about having changed the effing game and that whole deal. That actually came during the morning of Deflategate, too. So Belichick and the Patriots are coming off the deflate gate, and Zach Rinaldo won the weekly award, so tells you what a jag-off that guy is. Then, of course, you had all the Patriots parties that were getting votes. Robert Kraft won the next week, who was demanding an apology when they showed up in Arizona for Super Bowl week. Shady Brady was second that week. The Patriots organization was third, so Belichick was fourth. I mean, every member of the Patriots organization got some sort of vote at some point in January. We had Warren Sapp on the list. He got arrested the morning after the Super Bowl for his solicitation of a prostitute. He also got charged with assault. He admitted the prostitution charge. He got fired by the NFL Network. Then we had a major scandal in the Jackie Robinson West Little League team. You recall that whole deal, where you had these two adult administrators who were stripped of, they were cheating. They got an all-star team from outside Chicago. And one thing I've come to learn over 10 years of taking jag-off votes, people hate youth scandal. It is like, it sets people off. So that was a hot week of voting. The Penguins have gotten votes, like, through the whole year. Penguins, their players, the organization. It's probably not the best time to be feeling Penguins venom because they've been playing well here of late, even last night in the overtime loss. But they got plenty of attention this week. The Oklahoma Frat, I don't know if you remember that one, they had the racist chant on a bus video. That was early in the season. Of course, officials get votes, like NFL officials. The NHL officials got some heat one week. They won one. They didn't call any penalties in a game against New Jersey. That was 2 days after there was a huge 60-penalty-minute game in a game against Detroit where they were, like, mocking the refs. So that set people off. The Flyers got a vote just because 1 week. Jim Boeheim won an award. He had his press conference the morning of the NCAA tournament to announce his retirement, and everybody thought he was, stealing spotlight from the tournament itself and scolding the NCAA. Let's see, a couple other weekly winners. Britt McHenry, baby girl, caught on tape for her tow truck company employee berating. That was a good one. We had, we're now into Pirate season now. Mike Holbrook got an award. He ejected Clint Hurdle as he was commenting on balls and strikes. He had just a total erratic strike zone throughout the game. We had FIFA. We had Mayweather Pacquiao for being a terrible letdown. We had Hope Solo. We had Hackgate and the St. Louis Cardinals. P. Diddy attacked the UCLA strength coach with a kettlebell in midsummer. Peter Carmanos, the Carolina Hurricanes owner, was taking shots at Rutherford and jabs at the Phil Kessel acquisition and basically calling it Alex Semin Part 2. We had Vic Carapazza and the whole Pirates-Cardinals ejection fest. Rick Sofield, who was a frequent visitor on our show for horrible third base coaching, won a weekly award. Tom Brady when the cell phone news broke. Penguins released Bob Grove. That got a weekly award. Neil Huntington won at the trade deadline, of course, for the Jay Happ acquisition. PNC Park Wooers got an award. And now we're into kind of more recent history, and I think you remember some of the particulars at the end of the year. Joe Madden for the plantar fasciitis. Jake Arrieta, I believe, was in there pretty hard and heavy as well. And S-Rod and the Gatorade water cooler. Tortorella, Greg Hardy, the guy who stole the puck at the Penguins game, the puck schmuck. Ray Armstrong, the canine Raiders accusee. You had Andy Dalton and the Red Rider BB gun taking offense to that. Man, we had some good winners this year. It has been a spirited year of weekly awards. So keep all those in mind, but you don't have to go with a weekly winner. Jag off of the year voting starts, and it starts in just 60 seconds on the Trib Live Radio Morning Show coming up next.